This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. Ayyuha al-ikhwa, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Nas'alullah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. نسأله بعلم النافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after saying salam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to blot out our sins and forgive us. Have mercy upon us. We ask Allah to increase us in beneficial knowledge and wide sustenance. And to Allah is our return. He is our goal. On Him we are utterly dependent, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. Glory be to Him. I pray to Allah you're all well, brothers and sisters. Those of you who managed to join us today in these difficult times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the ease with the difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise, all merciful, all knowing. He knows everything, including the very inner secrets of our hearts, does He not, brothers and sisters? So we turn only to Him for His help. And patience from Him, sabr from Him, to increase us in iman till the day that we depart this world. Now, we're on the sharh of hadith number 12, for those of you who remember who've been regular in the classes. From An-Nawwiz, Al-Arba'een fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam, as he called his work. The 40 hadith, al-Baina hadith, to do with the principles of Islam, the basic principles of Islam, and to do with the very foundations of legal rulings. That's what he called his work, to remind ourselves. As I've mentioned before, Imam Nawawi, 676 Hijri calendar, he passed away, rahimahullah. So in the 7th century, this work is from then. The idea of 40 hadith, of a collection of 40, as I mentioned right at the beginning when we started this course, is very popular in Islamic history. And many works have been done on the basis of this idea of 40. And when 40 is mentioned, first, just to remind ourselves, it means approximately 40. And therefore you find An-Nawwi, he hasn't got exactly 40 hadith, he's got 42. Yeah, so when they mention 40, yeah, they brought together sometimes 40 plus, sometimes a little less than 40, but they called it 40 still, because approximately it's 40, and that was the idea. And as some researchers found, that if you go through history, then about over 500 works have been done with the title of 40. Some did 40 based on hadith, like An-Nawwi. In other words, they based it on the contents and text of the hadith. Some did 40 to do with doing analysis of the isnad, the chains of the hadith. Yeah, some did 40 on Aqidah, some did 40 on Jihad, some did 40 in Fada'il, in virtues of this and virtues of that. So all kinds of 40. This is aside from those who then came and did an exposition of the ones who did 40. And one of those expositions is, or Shah, is by Ibn Rajab, as we've been, one of the ones that I reference, a compendium which he did, Ibn Rajab, Hanbali. Nawawi is Shafi'i, of course, Ibn Rajab is Hanbali, who came approximately 100 plus years after Nawawi and did Sharh, and he called it Jami al-Ulum wal-Hikam fi khamsina hadithan min Jawami al-Kalim. Basically a compendium of knowledge and wisdom from 50 hadith from the one who had brevity in speech from Rasulullah, he means. And he took the 42 of Nawawi and added 8 to it to make the 50. So his is a work on, based on the 40, but he has made it into 50 hadith, which is a massive compendium of work. Of course, similar was done by other scholars. Perhaps the first to do it was Lashbili, which I've not been referring to, who was a Maliki scholar, just 20 or 30 years on from Nawawi, did Sharh. And Nawawi, as you know, did a Sharh exposition, which is very brief, as we'll see even with this hadith. Then, of course, many others, but some of the others I've referred to is Zaragoza's present day in English, which is a compendium of 3 books, and one by At-Tufi. Tufi was only 716 Hijra that he passed away, so only 20, 30 years again after An-Nawawi, he did a Sharh, which is very beneficial and useful as well. Another famous one is Al-Fathul Mubin. Shara of At-Tufi is a Ta'yin, the distinguished one in the exposition of the 40 hadith. And Al-Fathul Mubin is a distinct exposition or clear exposition of the 40 hadith, which was done by Ibn Hajar al-Haytami. That was done about 300 years or so after Imam Nawawi did his collection of the 40 hadith. So that's just a reminder of what we're actually doing. Of course, to remind ourselves, I don't rely on just those expositions. In the end, we critique those as well, and I add my understanding, and that we benefit enormously from that as well. And understanding and relevance to our lives and the application of hadith in our lives, what it actually means for us in our language and in our culture and time. This hadith, hadith number 12, if you got the copy of Imam Nawawi's Arba'een, which you should have in front of you, I advise that. And if you haven't got it, try and please get it, because we're only on hadith number 12. There's a long way to go yet, so I urge you to get that. Then you know what I'm actually talking about, and you have the text in front of you, what we're contemplating. Here, al-hadith al-thani ashar, 12th hadith. Imam Nawawi says, "An Abi Hurayra radiyallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min husni islami al-mar, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." Hadithun hasanun, rawahu tirmidhi wa ghayruhu hakata. So he says, from Abu Hurayra radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, part of the goodness of Islam, of a person, yeah, is his or her leaving alone that which does not concern him or her. That's the meaning of the text of the matan. And then he says, and Nawawi says, it is a Hasan hadith. And he said, it is transmitted by Tirmidhi and others like this. Okay, so that's what is written. Of course, each hadith we've taken, we go back to where he's saying it is from. And he's saying it's in Tirmidhi. So we go to Tirmidhi, and what do we find? Tirmidhi actually, here's a hadith from Tirmidhi, which Tirmidhi mentions with the chain. Tirmidhi mentions it with the chain, and then, and says, قال هذا حديث غريب لا نعرفه من حديث أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا من هذا الوجه. Is this hadith, he says, with this chain, is غريب. غريب, when Tirmidhi uses it, means this is the only chain, this is the only chain which comes in this way from Abu Huraira to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that's what it means by غريب. I'll come to some of least in a short while, inshallah. He said, we don't know this hadith from Abu Salama to Abu, from Abu Huraira, yeah, Abu Salama saying from Abu Huraira, except from this chain to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, except from this chain. That's all he says. When he says gharib, usually with this kind of comment, it means Tirmidhi thinks this is daif. This hadith is daif, weak. What further corroborates that is that Tirmidhi mentions this same hadith with the same words in the matan, in a text, with another chain. In this one, he says, Haddathna Qutayba, Haddathna Malik ibn Anas, Ani Zuhri. We know Malik ibn Anas. So if Malik ibn Anas is reporting it, then we're going to find this hadith where else? Which other book of hadith? You're with me? Anybody with any answer? Come on, you know this. Somebody's asking, can you put a link to this hadith? Well, I can't do that. I'm not a technology person. If somebody's got it and they want to share the link of hadith number 12 in Nawwi Zarba'in, for those who've joined us. So if he's saying in the chain, it's reported to us from Qutayba, Tirmidhi's saying that. In other words, Qutayba is one of his teachers. Yeah, and who said, قال حدثنا مالك ابن أنس, who says that it was reported to us from Malik ibn Anas. Who's Malik ibn Anas? Come on. Wasn't time for you lot to sleep and for me to talk. Anybody? Who's Malik ibn Anas? Nobody. Surprise. Imam Malik.
What?
Imam Malik is Malik ibn Anas. Imam Malik, who died in 179 Hijra, and the founder of the Maliki Madhab. Yes? And his hadith book is Al-Muwatta. Yes? Al-Muwatta. So we're going to find this hadith in Malik's Al-Muwatta with this chain. Yeah? And his Zuhri and Ali ibn Hussein. From Imam Zuhri, who died in 124 Hijri, reports many a hadith. From Ali ibn Hussein, I'll come back to that in a moment, who Ali ibn Hussein is. Qal, he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna min husni islamil mar. The only extra word here is inna. This is hadith in Tirmidhi as well. Surely from the goodness of an Islam of a person, تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, same words. قَالَ أَبُو إِسَى, this is Tirmidhi speaking, saying himself, وَهَكَذَا رَوَى غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الزُّهْرِ عَنْ الزُّهْرِ عَنْ عَلِي إِبْنِ حُسَيْنَ عَنْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَحْوَ حَدِيثْ مَالِكٍ مُرْسَلًا. He's saying, this is how it's reported by many people reporting from Imam Zuhri, from Ali ibn Hussein, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as similarly reported by Malik, yeah, Malik, I mean, in his Muwatta, Mursalan, it is hadith Mursal. وَهَذَا إِنْدَنَا أَصَّحُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ. He's saying, this is with us, Imam Tirmidhi saying, is more authentic, yes, than the one hadith which mentioned that it's from Abu Salama and Abi Huraira. The other one, which is mentioned by Nawawi. Remember, he says it's reported by Abu Huraira from the Prophet ﷺ. So Tirmidhi is telling us here that this one he's mentioning here, which is Mursal, yeah, is the most authentic he has, yeah, more authentic than the other one he mentions, which and now is taken, yeah. In other words, he's indicating the other one's weak, even by this statement. Why? I'll explain further. And he says, "Wa Ali ibn Hussein lam yudrik Ali ibn Abi Talib." Ali ibn Hussein did not meet Ali ibn Abi Talib. In other words, look at the chain. It's saying Ali ibn Hussein said, the Messenger of Allah said. So he's saying, Tirmidhi, Ali ibn Hussein didn't even meet Ali radiallahu anhu, never mind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? What does that mean?
It's weak.
Yeah. It means there's a break. Ali ibn Hussein can't say Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can he? No?
No.
He can't.
He can't.
No. Yeah. So that's why Tirmidhi said it's Mursal. And this is the best chain available, he said. Okay. That's just to go. See, this is the benefit of not just taking what Nawawi's written here. There's no chain here. Nawawi's given his opinion. He said it's Hassan. Tirmidhi, if you look at it, Tirmidhi's opinion is that at best it's Mursal, and I'll explain Mursal in a minute, in a short while. And the one that the Nawawi's mentioned here from Abu Huraira to the Prophet is definitely weak in the opinion of Imam Tirmidhi. From where he gets it from? From where Nawawi gets it from. Okay. So, however, Nawawi, of course, when he does the exposition of this, just mentions a few lines. He doesn't go into the this detail I'm going into in the Ulum al-Hadith and in saying, because he's already said in his comment, he says it's Hasan Hadith. Yeah. In other words, it's acceptable. It's a good Hadith. You can take it as evidence. Yeah. Not Sahih, Hasan, less than Sahih. So you can't take it for any new rulings and things which are not corroborated in the Quran and Sahih Hadith. Imam Tufi, again, who came 20 or 30 years after Imam Nawawi in his Sharh Ta'yin, doesn't go into the Ulum al-Hadith of saying whether it's authentic, not authentic, how weak it is. Ibn Rajab does. Yeah, Ibn Rajab, alhamdulillah, in his Jawab Ulum al-Hikam, he does go into it. As does Imam Az-Zaragozo, the one from the present day, which is available in English, he goes into some detail. So what's the summary of it if we look at it? Reality is, as Ibn Rajab and Imam Zaragoza says, the same, and Nawawi says it's Hasan, good and acceptable, that's why he's included it. But as Imam Ibn Rajab and Zaragoza says, majority of the ulama of hadith, from the critics of hadith, not those who just know hadith off by heart, they said this hadith is not authentic, from the chain of Abu Huraira, mentioning Abu Huraira from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'll come back to why in a minute. The best of it is the one that Tirmidhi mentions and Imam Malik mentioned in Al-Muwatta from Ali, from Az-Zuhri, Ali ibn Hussein, Mursal, Hadith Mursal, that's the best of it. Yeah. That's what they say. And that is the opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who was a great critic of Hadith, who died in 241 Hijri. Yahya ibn Ma'in, who is around the same time as Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and also a great critic in Hadith. And the opinion of Imam Bukhari, Al-Bukhari, and Ad-Darqutni, who came sometime afterwards as well. Yeah. They all say this hadith is not only not authentic, it is weak, and the weakness cannot be strengthened by other weak ahadith. Okay. So, this further, as Imam Zaragoza pointed out, and my teacher, Sheikh Abdullah, has the same opinion. Interestingly, Imam Zaragoza, who generally follows the opinion of Imam Sheikh Albani in saying whether hadith is authentic or not, disagrees with him this time, which was a breath of fresh air, actually. And he followed great, big critics in hadith from the past and sided with them as well. Imam Sheikh Albani actually went beyond saying it's Hassan, which Nawawi said, and said it's Sahih, authentic. It is not authentic, actually, with the greatest and love and respect to Sheikh Albani, but it's because other, not myself, my teacher, Sheikh Abdullah Yusuf al-Judai, but Sheikh Imam Ahmad is of the same opinion, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Imam Bukhari, and Nasa'i, Abu Hatim al-Razi, they're critics of hadith who have all said this hadith is munkar. Munkar, it is weak, weak. The hadith, we're talking about a hadith that Imam Nawawi mentions here with Abu Huraira. Because in the chain of that hadith is somebody called Qurra ibn Abdul Rahman. And they say, Ahmad says he's munkar al-hadith. He brings munkar hadith. Yeah, he brings mistakes in the hadith, munkar, or he's weak, not strong, cannot be relied upon. And others like Imam al-Awza'i and others said that he made a mistake in the chain when he narrated this hadith. Qurra made the mistake because he's not very strong in hadith. So he made a wrong chain where he added, where he put Imam Zuhri from Abu Huraira. Yeah, that's where the mistake. There is no, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, this is a mistake. The best this hadith is the chain, which is Mursal, the second chain that Tirmidhi mentioned, which is also weak. So, reality, that the best opinion in this hadith is actually not Hassan, not good, not reliable, and not Sahih. It is weak, and the best of it is Mursal. So what is Mursal? What is Mursal? I'm going to mention a little bit about Ulum al-Hadith, as I mentioned in other hadith as well. This is another aspect of Ulum al-Hadith, and perhaps, inshallah, you'll benefit from it, and it'll also clarify what Hassan is and what Mursal is. Now, Hassan and Sahih are terms, and Daif are terms in general, without going into the details. Sahih hadith is that in which four conditions are met. It is, has a chain which is connected, there's no break in the chain, one transmitter transmitting from the other one, yeah? And it's corroborated that they took it from the other transmitter, right back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, second, adara, that they are trustworthy, they're not liars and cheats, etc., etc. Yeah, third, that they are have a good memory, dhabt, they are correct, they're not making mistakes like Qurra did. He's not known to be good, not because he wasn't trustworthy, no, because he makes mistakes and brings, because of his mistakes, he brings false chains, like the ones which mentions Abu Huraira with his mistake. So the critics of hadith were able to find that out and point that out. That was the third criterion. Fourth criterion, that it doesn't have any hidden problem with it. And that is found by bringing lots of Sahih hadith chains together. And you find that in them, those who are generally accepted as good transmitters of hadith, they made a mistake. Yeah, that's called an illah. So those are the four requirements for it to be called sahih. Hassan hadith is less than that, and therefore we don't rely on Hassan hadith for any major issues, but more of a supportive nature. They're okay. Why? Because in the chain is a transmitter who is Hassan hadith, who is, they're their memory is not at the level of strong. Yeah, they make mistakes here and there, and therefore it needs checking when they say things, more checking, double checking and triple checking, yeah, to make sure. Hassan, that's briefly, I don't know, I can talk about Hassan Hadith for the next hour, but we haven't got time for that. Let's just give you an overview. Daif, weak hadith. Some people use that weak hadith to cover all kinds of hadith, including fabricated. Yeah. So fabrication is even obviously worse than weak. Yeah. It has no basis. It's a pure fabrication. The chain's fabricated and the text, the matan is fabricated as well. So daif covers all kinds of problems in those four things that I've mentioned. Yeah. Which all need to be a condition which need to be fulfilled. When any of those conditions are not fulfilled, it becomes a rejected daif hadith. All right, so that's one aspect. Hadith are also, in one way, classified. So there are various ways of classifying. One way, which I'm going to cover today, they're classified depending on where the chain of narrators reaches. If the chain of narrators reaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says at the end of the chain, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Okay. Like this one said, if you look at it, it says with the chain, like Tirmidhi mentions, and then says, "An Abi Hurairata qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Now, it looks apparently to be going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we call such hadith marfu'. Marfu' means raised to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It goes as far back as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for a hadith to be a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously it has to go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it doesn't reach that far back, then it's not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's called marfu' or muttasil, connected, yeah, with the chain we're still talking about. Now, you can have marfu', which apparently, like this hadith, appears to be connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you actually dig deeper, you'll find that actually it was a mistake by Qurra, as I mentioned before, who made the connection by mistake. It actually isn't a hadith which goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that has to be discovered. Yeah. So then it becomes no longer marfu', or although it appears as though it's marfu', connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the chain goes back to a Sahabi only, for example, it went back to Abu Bakr or Abu Huraira, and it said qal, and then it mentioned the statement without mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is called mawquf. Mawquf means it only reaches a Sahabi. Hadith mawquf. Yeah. There are hadith which people think are authentic, but when it's dug deeper by the critics of hadith, they discover actually it goes back to the statement of a Sahabi. So we say it is mawquf to Sahabi so-and-so. Yeah. It is not a hadith Nabawi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's more detail with that as well, but I haven't got time to go into that. Now, if it reaches a tabi'i only, and the tabi'i makes a statement, yeah, which some people think is a hadith, there's no mention of sahabi, no mention of qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is called maqtu', cut off. Maqtu' in this case means actually it is an athar of a tabi'i. Athar means it's them saying something from themselves, or they're mentioning something in words or in what they've seen, etc. So that's called maqtu', and therefore it would not be an authentic hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith which are marfu' to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, depending on how many narrators are in the chain at one generation, and usually it goes by the Sahaba, because after that, more and more learn from Sahaba, like Abu Huraira had so many students, so many will be transmitting from him in their works, etc. So the usual key link, yeah, the link that decides how strong the hadith and the number of narrators in it are going back to the Sahaba. Yeah, that tends to be where the least number always is, not further down the chain. Number of people always increases generally as you go down the chain. So if we have hadith, we have two big divisions in hadith. called Mutawatir, yeah, Al-Mutawatir, and Al-Ahad Hadith. Al-Ahad. Ahad comes from one, actually, but that's not the meaning of it here. First, let's do this. Mutawatir, the best meaning of it, and various definitions were given by various muhaddithin over the centuries. But the best definition from the leading critics of hadith and the best definers of hadith is a hadith which has been corroborated by a group at every level of the chain, starting from the Sahaba, going down the chain, by a large group of people. Yeah, generally they don't mention numbers, but some mention numbers. Some said 5, some said 10, some said 20. So much variation, but really the best definition was given, large enough group of people who can be relied upon and trusted, yeah, knowing that this group of people could not have colluded together to formulate a lie, or may all of them made a mistake. Yeah. So when you have a hadith that's coming by these kind of number of narrators, and you look at their names, they couldn't have got together to collude to make a lie against the Prophet ﷺ, these people, and neither were they of the level of poor memory and translation that they made, all of them made a mistake. So when a group like that narrate hadith, yeah, so it has many chains, yeah, which then this hadith is known as al-mutawatir, meaning it is corroborated by many chains over and over. You can have hadith which appear on first glance as though it was mutawatir. For example, there'll be many examples. I mean, some people, for example, you can even have fabricated hadith. So you can come across so many different chains going back to so many different Sahaba. But any critic of hadith will look and say, this is false, this chain, that's false chain, that's a false chain. Somebody's made all these chains up. Yeah, this is a total lie. So what appears to be mutawatir is actually a fabricated hadith. Yeah. So that'll be excluded. So mutawatir hadith means that which has been authenticated, yeah, through all its chains, etc., and it is of that level. So it is of high level of corroboration. Yeah. So highly reliable. Yeah. Straight after the Quran, which is mutawatir in its transmission, then come these mutawatir hadith. Yeah. There's mutawatir. Majority of mutawatir are highly corroborated hadith, and they are not the majority. But majority of those that are mutawatir, they are mutawatir not bilafz, but with ma'na. So you can have single hadith and single chains, but lots of hadith mentioning the same kind of thing in the text from the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore they each corroborate each other, and therefore the meaning of the hadith is mutawatir. Therefore they call it mutawatir bil ma'na. Al-Ahad is all hadith which don't fit the category of mutawatir. And under that, you can have various categories. So Al-Ahad are all those who don't fit the criteria of mutawatir. And I'm just giving you a brief overview without going into detail, brothers and sisters. So under the Al-Ahad, yeah, we have first level is Al-Mashhur. Hadith mashhur, they say. Mashhur has two meanings. One is a language meaning. So somebody says, oh, it's a very famous hadith. For example, yeah, for example, talabul ilmi farida ala kulli muslim. The seeking of knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. Is this a famous hadith? What do you think? Yene. Okay, who's heard of this hadith?
Me.
I should actually ask who hasn't heard of this hadith. I can't see any hands up or anything, and nobody's spoken. So I presume on this group, I don't know how many people are on, everybody's heard of this hadith. Am I right?
Well, the one that I normally hear is Uslub al-ilm min al-mahdi ila al-lahd. I heard that more often than this one.
Okay, so you haven't heard this. Talabul ilmi farida, seeking of knowledge, is obligatory on every Muslim. It normally comes with talabul ilmi farida tun ala kulli muslimin wa muslima. Yeah, this hadith has many chains. All right, it is famous as well. Yeah, so this, and yet this hadith is, even though it's famous because lots of people have heard about it, it's, some people say it's fabricated, yeah, or very weak, and it's more near fabrication than weak. It's very famous. Lots of people use it, yeah. And that one you just mentioned about utlubul ilmi min al mahdi ila lahad, that's even worse than that hadith. That is definitely a fabrication, yeah. Or travel to China, even if you have to, that's a fabrication as well. So these are famous hadith that people just mention willy-nilly here and there, though they, and they say the Prophet ﷺ said, oh no, he didn't. Okay, so mashhur can mean that, but mashhur in the ulum al-hadith sense, when it's used in ulum al-hadith, when they say hadith mashhur, in the definition sense, it means that hadith which has more than three transmitters at every level of the chain. Yeah? More than three transmitters. So you can imagine mutawatir, therefore, must be more than four, five, six, and you can carry on. But more than three or more than three is hadith mashhur. There are hundreds and thousands of hadith which are mashhur by that definition. In other words, transmitted by more than three sahaba, or three or more sahaba. Then we have another category called hadith, a category of al-ahad. Al-ahad gives you the idea it's one, but no, it doesn't mean that. That's why I said to you, it doesn't mean one. It just means it's not mutawatir. Here you have three people transmitting or more, but it's still called hadith al-ahad. And the other one, al-aziz. Al-Aziz can have the meaning of hadith being a rare hadith. They also use it, and it's rarely used like that, Al-Aziz. This hadith is Aziz, meaning it's a rare hadith. You know, you don't find many like it. Or it is used more in a technical sense, yeah, appropriate for the science of hadith, to mean, yeah, two transmitters. Minimum of two transmitters transmitted this hadith. Yeah, and there's not many like this. And perhaps a famous example would be, which is authentic, yeah, which is actually authentic as well, is a hadith which says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta ahabba hatta an akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in." None of you truly believes until I am more loved, yeah, to them than their children, their parents, and the rest of humanity. This hadith is hadith al-Aziz. It is reported by Anas and Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhuma. Then we have the third category under al-Ahad, which is called hadith gharib, al-gharib, or gharib. Gharib was used by Tirmidhi already. Yeah, in the chain, didn't he? After the mentioning the hadith, said this hadith is gharib from this chain. Yeah, so gharib means that he only has one chain he could find. He could only find one chain with this mention of Imam, where's it gone? Imam Zuhri through Abu Salama to Abu Huraira, the one that I know is used. Yeah. So it is the only, and that doesn't, the single chain doesn't make it weak. The problem was in the chain itself as well, okay? So you can have a single chain hadith which is gharib, but it's actually authentic. Yeah? But it's actually authentic. For example, hadith of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, innama al-amalu bin niyat, by definition, it's actually gharib, because only Umar bin Khattab reported this hadith. Only Umar bin Khattab reported this hadith. So in chain, one place in the chain, it is only Umar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the rest come after that in larger numbers. Yeah, but it is authentic hadith. used by so many muhaddithin and corroborated as being authentic. Now, so that's just to finally just to mention to you for today's lesson what mursal is then. So mursal is when a tabi'i says qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who have they left out?
The sahaba.
Yeah, sahabi they've left out. Tabi'i, can a tabi'i say, I heard the Messenger of Allah say?
No.
Or the Prophet said this? No, of course, by definition, they wouldn't be called tabi'i then, they'll be called sahabi. Okay? So when a tabi'i says, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yeah, by definition, it is mursal. Why is it called mursal? Because it's from arsala yursilu, irsal. They sent it, meaning they sent it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tabi'i, and jumped over the sahabi. Yeah. Therefore, what it actually means, it's got what in it? It's got a break in it, in the chain, hasn't it? Something, a sahabi is missing, therefore it's got a break in the chain. Is that right?
Yes.
So mursal hadith is a kind of hadith which is munqati'. Munqati' means cut. Yeah? So it's cut in the chain, but the cut is a sahabi. Yeah? So it is definitely a weak hadith. We don't accept it. It's got a break in the chain. Remember, the first condition of accepting a sahih hadith is that it must be all connected. This is not connected straight away. It is weak. And that's what the situation with this hadith is. So the one that Nabawi mentions is actually not mursal. It is munkar. Munkar hadith, or very weak. You can say da'if jiddan. Yeah? But we have one in Tirmidhi, which is from not Abu Huraira, but it is from, as it says here in the chain that is mentioned by Tirmidhi, and he's saying that's the best I can find. As the other critic, his teacher said the same. Who's Tirmidhi's most famous teacher? And I mentioned him already because I've told you some of the leading hadith critics from the past, what they said. Who's Imam Tirmidhi's most famous teacher? No offers? Inshallah, you'll start remembering because I've repeated. I've said this many times.
Bukhari.
Well, absolutely right. Who was that?
Jaffa.
How did you remember?
Because you taught me.
Jaffa. Well done. Imam Bukhari. As we, when we were covering the six, Siha Sitta, we mentioned it then as well. So Imam Tirmidhi's following, Imam Bukhari had said already anyway, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Abu Hatim al-Razi, critics of Hadith, and Daraqutni as well, they all said the same, that this Hadith at best is mursal. And how is it mursal? Because in this chain it says, Malik ibn Anas, and Zuhri, Imam Zuhri, and Ali ibn Hussein, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know Ali ibn Hussein is not a Sahabi. Who's Ali ibn Hussein? That's the next question. I'm asking you lot.
Is it the son of Hussein?
Very good. Which Hussein?
The Prophet's grandson.
Very good. Very good. Somebody's on the ball. Okay, so this is Ali ibn Hussein. What is he? Tabi'i or Tabi'i?
is he tabi'i?
Why?
Because...
Oi, stop answering the question. Give somebody else a chance. Why is he tabi'i?
Because he has seen his father, who is a sahabi.
Who is his father again? Remind me.
His father is Hussein ibn Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Very good. And who's that speaking?
It's Shahid Shabir.
Welcome. Yes. So do we accept that Hassan and Hussein were Sahabi?
Yes, of course.
Fine.
Yeah, we do. Because, of course, they met their grandfather. Yeah, they were young when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, but young, they still learned some hadith from, and we mentioned one of the hadith from them before, didn't we? Yeah. And so, they're Sahabi, and therefore, Ali ibn Hussein, not to be confused, his grandfather's also called Ali, isn't he?
Yes. So
Ali ibn Hussein is tabi'i, was buried in Medina. Ali ibn Hussein is also called, you'll have heard of this name, Zainul Abidin. Who's heard that name? Yay, nay, hands up, say something. Yay. Who's heard of the name Zainul Abidin?
No, I haven't.
Me.
Very famous.
I have heard of him, yeah.
Very famous, but most people don't know who Zainul Abidin is. It's Ali ibn Hussein, same person. Yeah? He was a scholar and an abid. That's why he's known as Zainul Abidin. Zahid, ascetic kind of person who liked to live a poor kind of life. Yeah? But a scholar nevertheless. His son was Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein. Yeah, ibn Ali. His son was Muhammad ibn Ali. One of his sons. He had two sons who are famous. Muhammad ibn Ali was a great scholar. His other name was Al-Bakir. Al-Bakir. Zainul Abidin and Al-Bakir, or Muhammad ibn Ali, are famous because they are the fourth and fifth of the 12 Imams of the Shia. Did anybody know that? First of the 12 Imams of the Shia is Ali radiallahu anhu, of course, then Hassan and Hussein, second and third, then they don't go down the progeny or the children and the grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Hassan. They just cut him off completely for whatever reason, even though he's still linked back to Ali and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they go down only the chain of Hussein, of who they pick, not everybody. So from Hussein, who's the third of their 12 Imams, comes the fourth one who we're talking about today, Ali ibn Hussein, Zainul Abidin. And his son was Muhammad ibn Ali al-Bakir, who is the fifth of the Imams. And his son, the sixth Imam, is the famous... Anybody know?
Imam Jafar.
Very good. Who's that?
Shahid.
Very good. So you know your Shia Imams then?
Well, I have got some knowledge of Islamic history.
Very good. Jafar as-Sadiq, he's known as. Yes?
Yes.
So Jafar as-Sadiq was the best of their scholars. Now, let me make it clear. These people that we're talking about, I've mentioned their scholars, yeah? They never called themselves Shia Imams, by the way. Yeah? They have not called themselves Shia Imams. Let's come back a bit to today's Ali ibn Hussein. Yeah, who's the great grandson of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zain al-Abidin. I remember I said he had two sons, famous. I'm not saying he only had two sons, but two famous sons. Muhammad ibn Ali, we've said, is al-Bakir, who they took as the fifth of their 12 Imams. Strangely, they did take the other son, who's also a big scholar. Yeah, his name was Zayd ibn Ali ibn Hussein. Instead of Muhammad ibn Ali, he was Zayd ibn Ali ibn Hussein. Some of the Shia went to Zayd and said, "What do you say, Zayd ibn Ali, about Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma?" Well, they didn't say radiallahu anhuma. I'm saying it. The Shia definitely didn't say that. They went to, "What do you say about them?" So Zayd ibn Ali, he said, "I say the same as my grandfather had said." He's talking about Ali radiallahu anhu, that they were the best of people. Of course, the Shia didn't like that. Yeah. But Zayd ibn Ali is also famous because there's a sect of Shia who are not known as the Twelvers or the Ja'fariya, yeah, who don't believe in these 12 Imams, who are known as Zaydiya. They are named after, because they followed Zayd ibn Ali. They followed Zayd ibn Ali. So they are known as Zaydiya. They are not the ones who hate and do kufr on the Sahaba. Yeah. It tends to be those who are from the Twelvers, the Rafida, and they have many sects beyond that. And I don't want to go into the whole story and history of Shia, etc. That was just to let you know in link with who Ali ibn Hussein is, so that we know who we're talking about, Zain al-Abidin. Now, how are we doing for time? I haven't had a look. We've already gone nearly an hour, is that right? So, let me come back to where we were. This hadith, therefore, the best opinion on it is mursal, da'if. We shouldn't say qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, therefore, in this regard. So this is one of the hadith in Imam An-Nawawi's Arba'een, which is not authentic. And we'll come to one or two others on another occasion. Suffice it today for us to say what Imam Nawawi says, and he makes only a very brief comment. He accepts this hadith, remember, as Hassan. He only makes a very brief comment in his sharh, or in his exposition. He reminds us of what was said about what we also said right at the beginning when we discussed Innamal A'malu bin Niyyat, the first hadith. Remember about that hadith, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said that Innamal A'malu bin Niyyat was a third of all knowledge. Yeah, that was so powerful. Others, like Abu Dawood, for example, he said in a statement, he said, I collected the ahadith to do with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I managed to collect more than 4,000, and he has more than 4,000 in his sunnah, Abu Dawood. It's interesting, this hadith is not in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, it's in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, yeah, and Ibn Hibban and Al-Muwatta, Imam Malik's Al-Muwatta, but not in Abu Dawud. But he says, Abu Dawud, that for Islam revolves around four hadith. He mentions, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, every deed is judged by its intention. Then he mentions, Innal halala bayyin wa innal harama bayyin. I think it's hadith 6 in An-Nawawi's, and that's why An-Nawawi is trying to indicate he includes them in this. Remember, his 40 is hadith he's chosen, which are the very foundations, basis of Islamic principles and the very foundations of Islamic legal ruling. Yeah, so he's obviously picked hadith which Islam revolves around. So Abu Dawud says, four of them, Innamal A'malu bin Niyyat, Then he says, surely that which is halal has been made clear, that which is haram has been made clear. And between the both are issues which are of doubt, etc. We did all the sharh of that already. And then he says, hadith number 3, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Hadith number, I think it was 10. Surely Allah is good and accepts only that which is good, to do with dua, etc. of that person. And then he mentioned the fourth one. He says this one, مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the goodness of a person's Islam is him or her leaving that which doesn't concern him or her. So that's what Imam Nawawi mentions from quoting Abu Dawood. As far as what the meaning is, are we going to therefore look at this hadith? Yeah, we're going to look at it, not because it is an authentic hadith, which I clarified, but the meaning of this is already corroborated without needing the Prophet ﷺ to say it in these words. This meaning of good part, a person's goodness of their Islam is linked with them leaving that which doesn't concern them. We will now, in the next lesson, elaborate. We have plenty of texts from the Quran and Sunnah to show, bring out this meaning, right? This meaning is correct, but they're not the words directly as they come in this particular hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. So we'll look at that next time, inshallah, as to this idea, this meaning, how it is shown from the Quran hadith, and what does it mean in our lives? Because Islam already teaches this, actually, from the Quran and Sunnah. Yeah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Any questions or clarifications more on what we've covered today? Because you may have been left confused about something, so please ask. Dr. Shabir, is it Dr. Shabir?
Sorry, what did you say, Dr. Bhatt?
Is it Dr. Shabir?
Well, my name
Shahid.
Is... Shahid. Yes.
Yeah, like Imam Ahmad said, just as a warning, he said there is no basis for three kinds of things or four kinds of things. Tafsir, Sira or Maghazi, he called it, Malahim and Tariq. Yeah. Why did he say that? He said, in other words, he was warning, be careful of tafsir, because a lot of tafsir in the books of tafsir are reported by al-muqatil, and people who are not trustworthy and reliable, and maghazi, the likes of al-waqidi, who's a liar, for muhaddithin, Ibn Ishaq, who is the best of them, but even he is saduq, just acceptable when he transmits with a good chain or a correct chain. And also for tariq, for history, Islamic history, majority of it you have to be take with a pinch of salt, yeah, because it's reported by people who are not trustworthy and reliable for muhaddithin. But that's just some of it can be corroborated. So that's just to be careful of when you read about Islamic history. Don't accept everything that you read in the books of Islamic history, by the way. Questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Munir.
I
have a question, Akhi. Right from the very beginning, is there any chain or authority for this hadith, number 12, which actually lends itself to be authentic? Or are we yet to cover that?
That's what I'm saying. The meaning is authenticated from Quran and hadith. Islam itself is teaching what this hadith is saying. But yes, this hadith is not authentic to Prophet ﷺ in these words.
Okay, I see.
That difference you need to understand. Sometimes you come across a hadith which is saying what Islam is already teaching in other Quranic verses or hadith, but it doesn't make that hadith correct if there's a problem with the chain and it's been shown to be weak or fabricated.
Yeah.
The idea of seeking knowledge, yeah, is good. isn't it? Quran and Hadith teach you to seek knowledge because there's no Iman without knowledge anyway. The first word is Iqra. But we don't need to have a fabricated Hadith saying seeking of knowledge is obligatory in every Muslim male and female and say the Prophet said that. You understand the difference?
Yes.
That's a lie against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though the idea is good. So therefore, the next lesson will be looking at the idea that this hadith mentions, which is not authentic.
Jazakallah khair.
Anybody else?
As-salamu alaykum, Doc.
Who's speaking?
It's Mumtaz.
Mumtaz. Welcome, Mumtaz, yeah. From Birmingham.
Doug, you said these hadiths are not authentic, but why would he include them in his 40 hadith then?
Oh, because he's given his opinion, and no, he said it's Hassan. That's his opinion, but the majority of greater critics of hadith disagree with him from before him and after him.
Because you clearly said they stated that there was a break in the chain of narration. Why would he not have considered that to put it slightly below the completely authentic? You said it's Hassan. If he realized it, sure he would have disregarded that. Or why would he have regarded it as Hassan if there's a break in the chain?
Yeah, there's a bigger question than that before you come to Nawawi. Why has Tirmidhi included it? Where he's getting it from.
I'll leave you to answer that one.
Very easy to answer it. The ulama, you see, Tirmidhi never said, I've only put Sahih in my book, and I discussed this with you when we discussed Siha Sitta.
Sure.
Six. Yeah. Al-Bukhari and Muslim say that, but Abu Dawud never says that, Imam Tirmidhi never says that, and Nasa'i doesn't even say that, and therefore they'll include Hadith on a topic. And they'll point out, like Tirmidhi has done with this one, that this is not authentic. Yeah?
Okay, exactly. Okay.
And then they can be critics of hadith of different caliber. And, you know, there'll be those who are talking about this hadith today who are imams who will be pointing it as though it's an authentic hadith. So why are they doing it? Because they made a mistake. Aha. And there can be difference of opinion, but the majority and the strongest opinion I'm giving you. Yeah. If you want to, some will follow, maybe I'm giving you the opinion of great critics of hadith, which is therefore, and from present and even before Nawawi's time, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Bukhari, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Yahya ibn Ma'in, they're all well before Nawawi. Imam Nawawi, they're well before him. And they've already given that opinion. Yeah. So we always give an excuse. I mean, look, now from present day, with the Sheikh Albani we talked about, it has done great service to the idea of hadith and the importance of checking hadith before using it for anything in the last century, rahimahullah. And he said, it's sahih. He said it's authentic. So if a lay person, and I've said this before, came across it and saw Sheikh Albani saying Sahih and said, well, Sheikh Albani said it's Sahih, fine, you can follow that if you want. You don't hold that. Can a critique of hadith make a mistake? Yes, they can. So the other critics of hadith are pointing out, actually, this is a mistake. It is not authentic. It's a mistake by Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah.
Jazakallah khair for the
clarification. Hence, it's a mistake by Imam Nawawi.
Fantastic. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Anybody else? I'm sorry, it was a bit technical today. So if I lost you somewhere, I do apologize. I'm only giving you a cursory look at when I talked about Ulum al-Hadith, the issue of Ahad and Mutawatir. I'm just giving you overview, very brief. I haven't gone into details. So you have some idea about it when you come across these, perhaps these terms. You understand? Because I think it's beneficial. This class is to go into some depth, isn't it? And therefore, even though I'm going into the things of Ulum Hadith, I can go into it in greater detail, but that's not the... it's because it was linked with this Hadith, and we had a term called Mursal, then I had to mention something linked with that. That's the reason why I did. But I hope it was useful to you. And if you have perhaps a recording available, then you can always go over it again and make your own notes so you can remember those things. Shall I leave you all alone if there's no more questions? If there is, I can answer in the next 5 minutes and we'll finish inshallah.
Regarding Hadith number 12.
Yes.
Is it mutawatir bil ma'na then?
No, we don't say that, because mutawatir would mean that many Sahaba reported it and we found chains for it. How many Sahaba report this Hadith? We've only got... So we don't say mutawatir with bil ma'na, because for us to say it's mutawatir with meaning, we have to have authentic Hadith coming like that. And it's not authentic. Yeah, you can only use that for a particular Hadith. Once it's weak, we can't say mutawatir bil ma'na. I know what you're getting at. You're saying we can get the meaning of this from Quran, from the overall meaning of Islam. And I'll come to that next time, but you'll see we can't say about this Hadith after I've clarified that for you. You can't say still about this Hadith, it's mutawatir bil ma'na. No, you have to have similar Hadith coming from different Sahaba with authentic chains, not mursal chains, not cut-off chains, coming with similar words to this. Yeah, they're all authentic, saying the similar words from the mouth of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then we say this Hadith is mutawatir bil ma'na. This doesn't fulfill that criterion, does it?
No, thank you.
Good question. All right, everybody. Zafar, do I have permission?
Yeah, yes, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan for today. Thank you.
No problem. So next week, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
We'll hopefully complete this Hadith, and then with the holiday, we may have a break. Is everybody okay for next week? I think. Did everybody get the message? It did go around, didn't it? I mean, I don't know how many actually joined us in the end, but maybe people are busy. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah khairan.
Oh yeah, the first message that was sent out by AHMA said 10 o'clock this morning.
My apologies, Sheikh. I did. I texted him straight away and we got that amended. So
We did. I sent it out before then, and poor Mumtaz was saying, I can't get connected. I was working and he was wondering why he can't hear anything. But anyway, alhamdulillah. Okay. Brothers and sisters,
they're very eager to join the class, so I went to do it earlier.
Barakallahu feekum.
Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.